Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. It is great to have you today. Aren't you glad that it looks like the election is now over? It seemed like it was never going to end. I was tired of hearing about it all myself. And I know that today, many of us are wondering about the future. We're wondering what it's going to hold. And certainly, I don't know what's going to happen under a new administration, and we've got some time to wait before that all begins to unfold. But I want to teach today, and I want to speak from my heart on two great concerns that I have. I have studied in the scripture what happens when a new king is elected. The people demanded a king, and the Lord gave them a king, and he warned them, if you want a king, it's going to be mixed with good and bad. And I have some great concerns about a new president, not a specific president, not one or the other, but any new president and where that may lead. Because I think we're fighting two great challenges in this country that we all need to be aware of, and we need to be aware of it through a spiritual lens, not a political lens. But the main problem that I think we're going to face in the coming days, the coming years, the coming decades, so this is not specific to any new person in office, whether it's our president or your new senator or your new governor or your new elected official, but we're going to face a problem with humanism. And that's the belief that man can solve man's own problems. We're also going to face a problem when we begin to unify for the purpose of protecting our prosperity. When there's a common desire to protect our personal prosperity, a lot of things can go off the path according to God's word. So I want us to be vigilant not to fall into that kind of thinking. And today I want to go through a defining moment. It was a moment not when a new king had been elected in the scripture, but when one had died. And I want to start with comparing what Isaiah was talking about when he started his famous verse in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died. Because the Lord raises up good kings and the Lord raises up bad kings. And what we learn from looking at it in Scripture is that kings are just people. And kings can be deceived. They can become overly important. They can become hungry for power. And they can become deceived by prosperity. So today we're going to talk about what happened to King Uzziah. Where did he go wrong? What lessons can we learn from his administration? And what Isaiah taught us to put our real hope in? Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money Package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money Package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. It's so good to have you join us today. Today, I want to talk about a very relevant time in the Scripture. It was a time that just jumped out at me as I began to read Isaiah 6. It wasn't a time when a new king had been elected. In fact, what jumped out at me, it was a time so significant that Isaiah himself wrote in the context of in the year that King Uzziah died. Have you ever defined your life by one of those kind of moments? You remember a benchmark moment when something happened so great and so significant that it set the context for all of your thoughts and ideas and the things that happened in that particular year. I can remember as a boy when I came home from first grade and the television was on. It was black and white. And my mother set me down weeping. It was the year that John F. Kennedy had been shot. I remember watching history unfold in front of my eyes. I can remember that year very, very vividly in my own mind. And this is one of those moments. This is how Isaiah chapter 6 starts. In the year that King Uzziah died. And so what I did is I went back and I said, why was that so significant to Isaiah? So I went back and I studied Uzziah because I have a tendency to read the kings of the Old Testament and just sort of go, okay, was he good or was he bad? And then kind of say, okay, well, now let's move on. But I went back and I actually studied Uzziah, and this is what I found out about him. Uzziah inherited the throne from his father when he was only 16 years old. And the scripture says, I'm in 2 Chronicles 26, that he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. So he was a king that lasted a long, long time. Now, it's interesting because he started out so great. Listen to what it says. The scripture says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, he started out as a great king. It said he sought God during the days of Zechariah. In fact, it was Zechariah who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, listen to this, God gave him success. As long as he sought the Lord. Now listen to his accomplishments, because he is up there in terms of accomplishments of any one man or any one king. It said he went to war and then he became very powerful, that his army was strong and feared throughout the land. He had great, great success as a leader in battle. It said he had the people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. In other words, this king was also somewhat of a farmer. Maybe he was a kind of an environmentalist. He loved the soil, and he made it work, and he made things grow. He was appreciated for that. It said that he was an inventor. He built towers, and that these towers were not just ordinary towers. They gave great defense for the city. And he improved even on some of the weapons of warfare. It said Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. And he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. So think about this. He's not just a king, but this guy could do it all. He was a builder, a farmer, an inventor. He was a warrior. He was a general. Everything that he did, he succeeded at. And so he was the hope of the people. People had put great hope in him. They had put a lot of promise in his abilities. And then suddenly something began to happen. And the scripture says that he was known far and wide, meaning he became very, very famous, and also that he had become very powerful. Now, here's what happened in verse 16. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord. And here's what the scripture says, that Uzziah went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar. Now, that was a privilege reserved only for the priest. He knew that. The priest knew that. Everyone knew that. But there was something in his ego that said he should be able to do that, that he should be able to put himself in the place of even a priest. He wasn't satisfied with all the other accomplishments in his life, and his ego drove him to say, I'm going in the temple. I'm going to burn the incense. I'm going to take the place of a priest. Now listen to this verse. It says, Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in, and they confronted him and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God. In other words, he was confronted and rebuked for even attempting to put himself in the place of a priest. And it says, immediately Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, he was ready to burn the incense, became angry and went into a rage in front of the priest. And while he was in this rage, leprosy broke out on his forehead. And then they ushered him. It said they hurried him out of the temple. And listen to this. This is almost humorous. He himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. the Lord afflicted him. And it said King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died, and he lived in a separate house, excluded from the temple of the Lord until the day that he died. It was the most humiliating rejection a king had faced. He broke out right on top of his head. It was as if the Lord said, "You think you are so important, I'm going to put a mark right in your face that you will not usurp what God has put in place. You will not assert your authority over God's ways." And he marked him right in his face. And then the rejection of all was he had to be excluded from the temple. That had to be humiliating to all the people who had put such hope in their king, who had longed for this king who would follow after the Lord, who had longed for this king who was an innovator, who was progressive, who was capable, who was a general, who was a farmer, who was an inventor, who had done all these great things. God completely humiliated the humanistic pride of a king. He brought that man very low. And where did it leave the government? It left the people wondering, has God abandoned this nation? Has God abandoned our people? And it was in that context, it was in that very strong moment when the people had lost hope, when the people realized that God had intervened and taken their king low, that Isaiah wrote these words. In that moment when the humiliated king, the king we had so hoped for, died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I want to talk to you when we come back about what Isaiah said and his experience and how it differed from Uzziah's experience. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about the difference between King Uzziah's experience with the Lord and the prophet Isaiah's experience. And I'm reading from Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, and all the hope and all the great promise of a wonderful, godly king had been destroyed, that he had been brought low by God. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And Isaiah goes on to say, and you know the scripture, that when he saw the Lord, he cried out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King." That's what brought hope to the people. That's why it was prophesying, because the people had put their hope in a man. And Isaiah said, in that very year, when that man who had been humiliated and cast out, who you had had so much hope in, was gone, that's the year that I saw the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, And he commissioned Isaiah to go and speak the truth to the people who were longing to know the king, because their king was gone. Their hope was destroyed. And God had afflicted that proud king so that Isaiah could prophesy that they have a true king. Now, I want to make a comparison between what Isaiah experienced and what Uzziah experienced. And the first thing we know that they had in common is they both started out with the fear of God. The scripture says that Uzziah actually feared God. And so did Isaiah. They both feared God. But they had a different experience. Uzziah, King Uzziah, experienced the fame and the power that comes in the world. I want you to follow me here because it's so important to remember. Uzziah experienced the fame and the power that comes from the world, but Isaiah experienced the famous and powerful one. And there is a huge, huge difference. On one side of the ledger, you have the false hope of humanism, that fame and power of this world is what's important. On the other side of the ledger, you see a king that was humiliated, but one who was humble before the Lord and feared God was in fact privileged to meet the true king. On the other side of the ledger, you have King Uzziah and his pride demanding his way with God. He was demanding that he be able to go into the temple and burn incense in the place of the priest, that he made himself so large that he usurped the authority of God Almighty. And he thought of himself as so big that God brought him low. On the other hand, Isaiah was humbled when he saw the true king and he cried out, "Woe is me!" Isaiah was made small. Do you see the difference? The king was made large because of the praise of men. And he thought he was larger than all people, including God. And Isaiah was made small, and he recognized his own sinfulness. And he cried out, "I am unclean." Now, it's interesting that when Uzziah thought he was large, he was made unclean through leprosy. But when Isaiah admitted he was small and unclean, look at the difference. Where Uzziah was afflicted, he was physically touched by God and marked on the very front of his head, his very face turned leprous. What an incredible picture of humiliation. But Isaiah was healed by God. God took the hot coal and touched his lips when he said, "These are unclean, Lord," right in front of my face, just in contrast to the king. God said, "I'll make those clean. And your mouth will be clean through my grace and my mercy. And you will be prepared to be used by me to tell the people of the real king, the king that they need to know." Now, here's another huge difference. King Uzziah was exiled and excluded from God's presence the rest of his life. That's the worst form of punishment any of us could ever experience. It's complete despair to be shut out from God and to have actually died in that condition. He died isolated from the presence of God. But look at what happened to Isaiah. After he cried out that he was small and he was made clean, he was actually commissioned by God. "Who shall go for me?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And the Lord said, "You go and you tell who the real king is." Now, on the other side of the ledger, King Uzziah is a representation of the despair and the hopelessness if you put your hope in man, if you put your hope in the government of man. God never wanted that to happen. But look at what he did in contrast. In Isaiah chapter 9, the Lord gave the privilege to this prophet of his, who had been humbled before him, who had seen the Lord high and lifted up, who had cried out he was unclean, who had humbled himself before God. He said, "This is the commission that you get to make." He said, "You go and tell this people," and this is what he prophesied to the people, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end." He brought hope to the people after their king was destroyed. In the year that King Uzziah died, who everybody thought the government was on his shoulders and the hope for peace was on his shoulders, he was destroyed. And Isaiah said, Jesus Christ will put the hope of mankind on his shoulders and his government will never end. That's what God wants us to remember. That's what he sent Isaiah to tell us. Well, you're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I want to thank you for allowing me to share my heart with you today. I've really just stood here to share what God had put on my heart from this passage, because anytime we have a new president, anytime we have a sweeping change going on where this election has gone on so long and we've had so much buildup, I think we have to be brought back to God's perspective. God made it clear in Isaiah 6, when he sent the prophet Isaiah, he revealed himself to him, a man who was truly humble before him, to tell the people who were so disappointed, who were so distraught probably that their wonderful great king had been brought so low. He brought Isaiah to tell the world, to tell anybody who would listen, never put your hope in a king. Never put your hope in a government. And never put your hope in their bailout plan. Now, I'm going to expand it a little bit for you today. But I want you to understand the message has never changed. Isaiah was raised up to tell the people, don't go back to putting your hope in man. You see what could happen. Even one who said they feared God and were discipled in the fear of the Lord, they can be led astray through power and pride, and humanism can take over. It's one of the most deceptive lies in all of our culture that man can solve man's problems without Jesus Christ, that we do not need Christ in the equation. I think that the scripture goes on to tell us, don't put your hope in an economic recovery plan. Don't put your hope in a 401k. Don't begin today saying, well, in four more years, we will get the right person and the right person will do all of these things that this other person didn't do. God never wanted us to have our hope in an election, in a leader, or in a government. He wanted us to have a firm hope in Jesus Christ. And it's going to take people like you and I who have seen the exact same truth that Isaiah saw, that the world does not offer the solution, that only the high and exalted Lord God Almighty is the solution to man's problems, and the government does rest on his shoulders. That way, today, you can have peace. No matter what happened in this election, whether you were for this candidate or against this candidate, you can have peace. But there's one more message Isaiah has for you. Because the Lord wants those of us who have seen that he is the hope of the world to do the exact same thing that Isaiah did, to say, Lord, would you cleanse my lips to speak on your behalf? And would you send me to speak to your people? Just like Isaiah, the Lord is looking for those who will say, here am I, send me. Will you sign up to be a part of speaking the truth for those God is calling to turn away from humanism and to follow hard after him? Well, I hope you've been blessed today. It's been a privilege to talk to you. I'm Chuck Bentley. You've been listening to Money Life. We'll be back again tomorrow.